Who am I? That's the question I have for you this morning. Who am I? I am a Christ follower. I am a redeemed sinner. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a father-in-law. I'm a grandfather. Family minister. I'm a Longhorn. Hook 'em horns. I'm an art major. I'm a drummer. I love disc golf, among other things. In my life, my wife loves me anyway. She does. When I was a child, I don't know about you, but I struggled with my identity, trying to figure out who I was. I was a middle child. I was a compliant child. I was a bullied kid. Some of you have experienced that. I was a mama's boy, I have to say that. And it took me really a long time to figure out who I am. So this morning, I want to ask you the same question. Who are you? What's your identity? You know, really think about that for a moment. When I was a youth minister, and this morning I got the awesome blessing to have Jason and Robin Kaiser here, who were in my youth group, who have raised a beautiful family. And it was just a joy to be able to see them. This morning they're sitting with Jim and Virginia over here. But Robin and Jason were both in my youth group. Amazing young people. And they were part of the youth group when some of this transition was going on. But when I was a youth minister, which was, I hate to say this, many moons ago, a long time ago, I was encouraged by the elders at that time to focus on self-esteem. Let's build our kids' self-esteem. Really important. Self-esteem was a huge thing, but it's especially huge for young people. So I did. I focused on trying to create an environment where they were built up and encouraged. But the weird thing was, the more I tried to build their self-esteem, it seemed the more rowdy the group got. I was really puzzled. So I began to ask some of the fellow youth ministers around how this worked for them, because they were kind of doing the same thing. And they, too, found themselves in a similar conundrum. And then one day, reading the scriptures, kind of had an epiphany. I looked at that word, self-esteem, and it kind of hit me. Self. Focusing on self. But I began to discover that self was not the place to start. Matthew 10:38-39 hit me like a ton of bricks. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Remember in Exodus, Moses goes up on the mountain, the Lord gives him the Ten Commandments. And he says this in Exodus 20:2-6. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. 3 or 4 generations of evil. But when we love God, 1,000 generations can be impacted. No other gods. And what God, little g, does the most harm? I don't know about for you, but for me, it's self. I'm my own worst enemy, they say. It was then I began to realize that it's not about self-esteem. It is about God-esteem. esteeming the one who created us and made us. And when we find our identity in him, we no longer see through self's eyes. We no longer see through our human eyes. We begin to see through the eyes of the divine one. We begin to see ourselves through his eyes and to see others through his eyes. When we find our worth in God, not only do we see others in a different light, we do see ourselves in a completely different light. I began to teach our young people how God sees them, how much he loves them, and that they do not need to find their identity in self, but in him. Because life, real, true, everlasting life, is only in one place. It's not self. It is in Christ. It is in God. I can't explain what happened when this became the goal. It changed everything. Teens were gathering together on their own, having devotionals, studying together, reading the Word of God together, inviting their friends to church and to youth group, because there was this explosion of faith, and it all had to do with the fact that these teens were now finding their identity in their Savior. They began to see each other through his eyes as precious, unique, one-of-a-kind beings created by God, loved unconditionally. There was another group in scriptures that were having similar issues that the Apostle Paul addressed. Let's go to the scripture reading for this morning, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. This was a church that struggled. Paul had many, many things to say to them. And so he wanted them to really begin to grasp who they were in Christ. He says, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Wow, ooh, that's kind of scary, isn't it? I think all of us fall into one of those categories. And he says this, and that is what some of you were. We have people that come broken our assembly. My question is, do they feel judged by us? Because I'll say it, and I said it a million times, you'll hear me say it again. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. We all need a Savior. We are all broken. So when someone walks through that door that's broken, what they need is some arms around them. Because maybe they are becoming something new. That's what they were, but they no longer are seeking that. If they walk through these doors, you know they're searching. They're looking for something. That's what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, Paul was telling the Corinthians, God has given you a new identity. That identity is washed. It's sanctified, and it's justified in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And then Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, writes these words in 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 20. Paul's talking about his ministry, and he says, "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others." Shouldn't that be what we're doing? Trying to persuade others that there's something far better than the things of this world, than the things in this life. That there's a far greater way to live. And he says what we are is plain to God. Paul knew who he was. He knew his identity, and it was in Christ. It was plain to God. And he said, I hope it's plain to your conscience as well. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. We're out of our mind, as some say. It is for God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. Christ's love compels us. Does it compel you? Does it compel you to show kindness and to show love and to show compassion to the brokenness in this world? Does it compel you to live differently? Christ's love compels us here because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, for self, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Look at what Paul says. He says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way when they thought he was going to be the Messiah of Israel instead of the Messiah of the world. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Are you a minister that reconciles people, helping them to find their way to God? God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. We have to be careful not to do that. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Talk about a new identity. A new creation. We are becoming the righteousness of God. So when I ask the question, who are you? What was your immediate response? Did it have to do with your position or your job? Maybe it was your role, husband, spouse, teen, child. Did it have to do with how others see you? Maybe even how you see your own self. Listen to what 1 John 3:1-3 says. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. I love that word. Isn't that a beautiful word? He is just pouring out all of his love on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. In other words, when we transform. But we know, emphasize that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. Or we shall see him as he is. Man, I can't wait for that day. When I can look him in the face. In all that glory, and my body will be made brand new. And it can withstand that glory because in this flesh it cannot. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. 1 John 3:10 says this. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right, not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. And we've got to think about that. Relationships are important in God's eyes. I'm going to ask you to do something a little out of the ordinary. I'm not going to preach very long, but I would like it if you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's okay too. And I would like for you to stand up. For those that are able to. And I want you to repeat after me this last slide. As you submit your identity to God the Father, who has lavished his love on you. I am washed, sanctified, justified, Christ ambassador. A new creation. Reconcile to God. The righteousness of God. Loved lavishly. Child of God. Like him. Pure. And I'm going to do what's right. Seated. How did that feel? That is who we are. That is our identity. The world doesn't identify us. God identifies us. Get rid of self-esteem. Take on God esteem. Because he loves you so much that he sent his son, and his son willingly came to a fallen, broken world, knowing there was sin all around him. He could see it. He could feel the presence of it, knowing that he would be the salvation of his people. Like they said in the communion thought, he didn't want to go to that cross. That's not what he wanted to do. But he said, if my father says do it, my identity's in him, that's what I'm going to do. I am going to go to a cross to save all of these people. When we find our identity in Jesus, our vision clears. We can see. We can feel. We can move in this world in the darkness as light. What did Jesus say? You are the salt of the earth. You are a light on a hill. I could have added so many things. When you say, I am these things, there are so many more. I just pulled those from these passages. You are beautiful. You are amazing. You were created in the image of God. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. But let me tell you, the world does not want you to believe that. The world wants to take away your identity. Whether you're 5 years old or 65 years old or 85 years old, Satan wants to steal your identity. He wants you to find it in self, not in God. The world tries to destroy that beautiful hope that we've been given. I hope that you will take these words, sow them into your heart, and realize who you are. It's not a prideful thing to say, I am a child of God. It is a humble thing. Because all of us know we don't deserve what he's done for us. We don't deserve the love that he lavishes upon us. And he says, I got a gift for you. And that gift is a new identity. We are a new creation. Maybe there's someone in here who's struggling with your identity. Maybe you're trying to figure out, who am I really? Why am I here? We ask those questions. What is my purpose? What in the world am I doing here? Let me tell you what, God has purpose for you. You have purpose in this life. Every one of you have been created uniquely and individually, and there is not another one like you on the face of the earth. I told the young people at a retreat a while back, if you die, then you're extinct. There's not another one like you. You're one of a kind. And that God loves you, and he made you uniquely for purpose. And that purpose is to make a difference here in this place. By the way you live and by the way you love. So if you're struggling with that, this church is a praying church. There's prayer warriors that'll pray over you. We will pray over you and pray that God will open your eyes to your identity in him. Maybe you haven't put on Christ. Maybe you haven't made the decision yet that this is something I really need to do. Let me tell you what. It'll change your life. I remember the day of my baptism, and I have not been the same since. I had no plans to ever be in ministry. God completely changed the course of my life when I let it go, when I allowed it to be hung on a cross along with Jesus. When I died to myself, I finally found out what life really was. I've been blessed to be able to live it for these years. And I'm still working on it, and Satan still comes after me. But let me tell you what. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with that, a new identity. If you have a need, whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.